Tonight's scripture will be taken from Matthew 5, 38 through 42. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away.
Good evening. Make sure you go ahead and open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, 38 through 42, if you haven't done so already. The Sermon on the Mount has much to do with the heart of man. Learning to live with the heart of righteousness is what many have written in their commentaries about the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. And so it has everything to do, it is about how we live this life. It has everything to do with what Brother Dean reminded us last Wednesday evening about attitudes. And so it is prevalent for us to study such. And can you imagine a situation where words have been spoken often in anger, words that you cannot get back? Can you imagine a situation where someone was hurt so badly that seemingly they just feel that they can never get beyond it, never get past that situation? And in fact, spend most of their lives waiting for the perfect moment, at least perfect in their mind, the way they've played it out, the way they've walked through every scenario, everything that could possibly be said, every scenario, they have it worked out just right in their mind. When they see this person again, or when they get the opportunity, well, they're going to let them have it, right? And that's probably been us, at some point in time at least. We've been there. Tonight's lesson is entitled, The Right Response When Wronged. The Right Response When Wronged. How do we respond when someone has done something wrong against us? And in fact, when you look around and you see so much of the violence that is committed around us, it can be somewhat scary thinking about our words, thinking about how they might be turned on us, used against us, and even someone may retaliate against us in some form or fashion. The one thing that we must remember as Christians, that we serve a just God who shall administer judgment, according to the psalmist, for the peoples in uprightness. Psalm 9, verse 8. And so tonight I'd like for us to dig a little deeper into Scripture and look at our Lord's teachings on retaliation. Some of your Bibles, if they're separated into sections where you might see a paragraph, if you will, where several verses are broken up, sometimes they'll have a little paragraph heading. And in one of my Bibles it had, Lord's teaching on retaliation. And another one, in fact, the one I'm using up here right now, just simply has, go the second mile. And then, while that's probably a good one, that's not the whole of it all, is it? There's more to it than that. And so we'd like to dig a little deeper and see, in fact, what is there. And so in Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through 42 will be our text for this evening. And we'll begin then with this verse 38. It says, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. It's almost like the situation we think about how so many people in the world today, religious or not, can quote John 3:16, right? This was probably a section of verses just similar to that, thinking about how what had been taught in this way. this was a prevalent teaching of the day. This was part of the old law. But something had taken place. So what I want to do is go back and look at those verses from which this teaching was brought forth by our Lord. When he said that it was heard of those, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Let's go back. So we find ourselves first in Exodus 21, 23 through 25. You'll want to keep your place in Matthew. And then turn over to Exodus 21 with me. Beginning of verse 23. But if any harm follows, then you shall give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. Leviticus 24 reads this way, verse 20. Fracture for fracture, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. As he has caused disfigurement of a man, so shall it be done unto him. And then we have Deuteronomy 19. This is a little bit longer. Deuteronomy 19, 17 through 21. Then both men in the controversy shall stand before the Lord, before the priests and the judges who serve in those days. And the judges shall make careful inquiry. Indeed, if the witness is a false witness who has testified falsely against his brother, then you shall do to him as he thought to have done to his brother. So you shall put away the evil from among you. And those who remain shall hear and fear. Hereafter they shall not again commit such evil among you. Your eye shall not pity. And then this phrase keeps coming up. Life shall be for life. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. One thing that we have to be understanding of, it was not intended to be carried out on a personal, individual basis, but rather to be applied in front of the appropriate judges. As we noted, in fact, in first part of Deuteronomy 19, verse 17. And so that being the case, then they were to take eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, burning for burning, and so forth, but only before the decision given by the judicial authorities, those who were in charge. And he gave a list of who those might would be. And so one thing that we learn from this is a judicial rule is not unjust. Christ here finds no fault in Matthew chapter 5 with the rule as applied to magistrates, and he doesn't take it upon himself to repeal it. But instead of confining it to the magistrates, Barnes tells us in his commentary that they had, in fact, the Jews had extended it to private conduct. And so you could retaliate privately. And in fact, then made it a rule by which one would take advantage of another. Again, according to Barnes. J.W. McGarvey states, in every case of maiming under the Mosaic law, the guilty party was regularly tried in the courts. The penalty was inflicted by the officers of the law. Then he goes on to say the injured party was not, though, required to prosecute, but was given liberty if he saw proper to show mercy by declining to do so, as per Leviticus 19 and verse 18. It says, you shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? And then he concludes that with his signature, I am Jehovah. And so I think it's important to notice that while certainly this was part of the old law, something that had been taking place, an accident had been taken, or in fact a maiming something, someone had lost an eye, in fact. Someone had lost a hand or an arm or a foot or something like that due to the negligent behavior of another, or maybe even purposeful behavior of another, then they could come before the magistrates, the priests, before the Lord, and make judgment against that individual. And if it was a life that was taken, their life could be taken. And so on. That's important to notice the background, to have an understanding of those things. But it's also important to understand that that was done before judges, before magistrates, before the priests, so that, in fact, justice could be served properly. So we come back to then verse 39. After the statement, you've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth. But I tell you, Jesus says, I tell you not to resist an evil person. I've been reading several translations today, mixing my words up. But I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. And remember, Jesus here is teaching about retaliation. That's what this whole section is. He's denounced the misinterpretation of the Old Testament scriptures that we've mentioned earlier, those passages. Brother H. Leo Bowles wrote in his commentary, God had never taught the spirit and practice of retaliation as the Jews were teaching and practicing it now. And so Jesus is calling them out on it. It was never the law of God for anyone who had lost an eye to knock the eye of his enemy out. Or if in a personal struggle or fight, if someone had lost a tooth, to go knock his tooth out. No such procedure was permitted, again, without judicial processes. It did not permit personal vengeance. And Jesus was standing opposed to that practice. He was not opposed to the law. He came to fulfill the law, but also not to disregard the law that he himself was living under at that point in time. The King James in this passage can be a little confusing because it just simply says, resist not evil. The American Standard, resist not him that is evil. The New King James, not to resist an evil person. You begin to get the idea of what's here. The Bible's not teaching some contradictory doctrine. We're taught to resist the devil, James 4:7. We're taught to reprove or resist the works of darkness, Ephesians 4:11. We're taught to fight the good fight of faith, 1 Timothy 6:12. We're taught to denounce sin and error, Romans 16:17 through 18. But we are not to resist evil with evil, Romans 12:17. And we are not to oppose violence with violence, 1 Peter 2:11 through 17. And in Peter, you have to remember these individuals who were so oppressed and persecuted, many of them even by their own employers in those situations. And yet they're told to accept their circumstances as best they can, be better, do better, and as such, they may have opportunity to be able to teach others around them by being right in their living. Now, if one should slap your right cheek, turn to him the other. Slapping was a common insult, even as it is today. You can imagine. Lamentations 3, verse 30. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes him and be of full reproach. In other words, let him have it. Let him take it from you. If he's slapping you that way, he says, then be of full reproach. Turn and give it to him full on. So this was taught by the prophets as well. Matthew 26, verse 67. Jesus himself is slapped. They spat in his face and beat him. Others struck him with the palms of their hand. They slapped him, in other words. John 18:22. when he had said these things, one of the officers who stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, "Do you answer the high priest like that?" John 19, verse 3, then they said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they struck him with their hands. Slapping was, in fact, an insult. The principle and the spirit that Jesus here gives are against retaliation and emphasize his statement. Resist not him that is evil. There may be situations, and I'll be the first to admit, someone slaps me. Wayne's going to have a hard time with this verse, okay? Just go ahead and admit that to you. Because it is such an insulting thing. But what is Jesus trying to teach us here? You're better than the world. You're to live better than the world. You can overcome this. There is a better way. And so when you look and you see Jesus slapped by an officer at his trial, Jesus says, "If I have spoken evil, bear false witness of the evil. But if well," in other words, "if I have spoken well versus speaking evil, why are you smiting me?" So what did he do? He didn't retaliate against the offer, but he did rebuke him. And he asked him this question. Consider Paul when he's struck by the high priest, or at the high priest's command. He replied with strong words, "God shall smite thee, thou whited wall, for thou sittest to judge me after the law and commandments, and commands me to be smitten contrary to the law." And so he went back and was teaching the high priest, in fact. But Paul did not retaliate here with physical force. That's found in Acts 23, verses 1 through 5, to exact some vengeance upon him. Peter, by inspiration, wrote, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that we should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judged righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness." That's what we've been called unto. "By whose stripes," those stripes, he says, "you were healed. For you were sheep going astray, but are not returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." 1 Peter 2, 21 through 25. Now, I don't want us to be mistaken here. The general principle which he laid down was that we were not to resist that evil person, as we see it was even in the old law. In other words, not to set ourselves against an evil person who was insulting us, even so far as to say slapping us, taking full advantage of us. Jesus also taught us to be wise. Isn't that right? He taught us to understand the situation that we're in. Yet, and this is the problem, I think, that we find when we hear this teaching being brought up. This is where most pacifists have jumped out of the plane without a parachute. There's no way out of this. They take Jesus' teaching here to mean that we cannot defend ourselves in any form or fashion. We cannot defend our families, cannot defend our country, cannot defend others who are innocently being harmed around us. We just got to sit by and just take it and watch it. That's not what Jesus is teaching here. It cannot surely be the intention to teach that a father would sit by coolly and just watch his family be hurt. To see his family murdered and not be allowed to defend them. Now let me say this. If someone takes the pacifist position and that's what they hold as a scruple, and that's what they've chosen for them, their faith, their family, that's fine. But as for me and my house, we will defend the innocent. But in Jesus' teaching here, he's not talking about being hurt or maimed in this way. What is he talking about? He's talking about being slapped. He's going to give us another illustration in just a moment about being taken advantage of. And all of this in the very same context. And so our Savior is explaining what he means by this. Had he intended, in fact, he would have referred to a case where life was in danger, then he would have mentioned it. But that's not what he's talking about here in this passage. And such a case would be far more worthy of a statement than those of which he would mention here. He's talking about being insulted. Someone saying something bad about you. We're taught against retaliating when insulted in these cases in which our Lord describes. We're even reminded of the Old Testament passages that teach us about defending those in need. Not just family members, but even those nearby. We hear those cries or those screams and we go running to help. Or else we would be in judgment of the law, condemnation of the law. And so those passages certainly help us in our understanding about defense, self-defense and other topics especially, but this lesson is about retaliation. This passage is about retaliation. So let's go back to our passage and look at verse 40. If anyone wants to sue you, if anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, King James used the word coat. He says, let him have your cloak also. The second of three illustrations that he's going to give of that same principle about retaliation and vengeance. He says, that's not what we do. The second evil that's mentioned here is where one is prone to go to court against another for the purpose especially of taking advantage of another. And so he says, rather have the type of attitude that would say, you want my inner coat? They were not by law supposed to take the outer. And so he says, well, here, have my outer coat, the cloak that's mentioned in that passage. And so to give up one's cloak was an even greater degree of concession, if you will. So what are we noticing here? We're noticing, again, the Christian's attitude in this life. And retaliation has no place in it. Verse 41, whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go two. Go with him too. So the third illustration, same principle, same thing that we're talking about. But this custom had originated first with the Persian government. Man traveling on a mission for the government, if need be, could compel others to assist him in carrying out the demands, whatever they were, of the government. The Greeks took up the same custom, put it into law. The Romans did the same, put it into law. And then, certainly, as always is the case, there were those who would abuse such things, which probably led to then the Jews who were being abused by such situations to take it upon themselves to act out personally, individually, rather than judiciously by the magistrates. And so, while unfair advantage was often taken of these individuals, sometimes the Romans would compel a Jew to assist, maybe carrying something along the road. And in fact, it is stated that the Jews, in fact, walked it off. They knew exactly how far. The Roman mile was 1,680 yards. Ours is 1760, I think, somewhere in there. So 1,680 yards. They had it marked off. They probably knew exactly from their fields where they were working. Well, if he comes somewhere in this general vicinity, then I know I've got to go to that tree or that mark down there, down the road, and they had a spot marked. And that's as far as they would carry it, and then they would drop it and take off because that's all they could be compelled was to carry it a mile. But he says, whoever compels you to go a mile, go two. Go two. Jesus teaches, it's better to suffer this burden and this inconvenience, this injury, if you will, than it is to retaliate. Do so peacefully. Go twice the distance. What is he saying? Typically what we would say is you go above and beyond, right? The phrase that I've been using a little bit myself is be better, do better. Be better, do better. You can do it. We can do it. In this Christian life, that's what we're called to do. We're called to be better. And we're called to do better. Better than the world is doing. So verse 42, excuse me, verse 42. Give to him who asked you, from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. And again, this is still in the context of retaliation from verse 39. And this is not meant to say literally, give everything to anyone who asks and so on. That's not at all the case. What he is saying, certainly, and that would have limitations, in his context and as our example, benefits us, we understand then that there's those things that are regulated in regard to those who would ask of us, those who ask to borrow what we have the ability to loan and of what they have a legitimate need, he says, should not be turned away. And Jesus is teaching that from Deuteronomy 15, verses 8 through 10. And so the teaching of Jesus in this part of the sermon is simply expressed in the law that they already had. And the spirit of retaliation is still under consideration in these verses. And so if one has injured us in need, we're not to turn him away empty. But this is going to be regulated then by other passages. Thinking about our own duties to our family, 1 Timothy 5, verse 8, and certainly other ideas of justice and sometimes common sense with those around us who would ask a thing of us, if you will. So again, what a thought this is. This is, to me, this is up there with love your enemies, right? This is a difficult teaching. But again, the Sermon on the Mount is about thinking differently, right? It's about thinking better. It's about thinking with the right kind of attitude. It's about thinking with a heart of righteousness, wanting to do what's right before God, because this is what he's called us to do. To be better, to do better. Righteousness concerning our relationships, even with those relationships that are difficult, by going a second mile, not retaliating when hurtful words maybe have been passed. And we do so to invest in people, to befriend people, to help people see a better way. And in fact, those who have done just such as that, I just heard a story and I didn't have all the details of it, so I won't be too specific. But just this past week, heard a story of a lady whose son had been murdered. And she had the opportunity to meet with the young man who took her son's life. And now, in fact, now that he's out of prison, they actually go around and talk to others about the situation, about what led him down that road to begin with, to take that innocent life, but also about how forgiveness is a real thing. And they're exemplifying that. Be better. Do better. That's the idea. Investing in people by helping, by befriending, by being there to benefit someone else. How else Is it going to be the case that Jesus brings change into the world? How is it the case that Jesus has called us to a better service and yet we still are upset and holding grudges and waiting for those opportunities when I might could get back at someone else? Jesus says, that's not the Christian way. That's not our lives anymore. We put all those things behind us. We be wise in our ways, but retaliation has no place in the life of a Christian. And just as a sidebar, has nothing to do with the self-defense argument, and yet people run to these same passages to try to make that argument. And so there again, let's keep the passages in context. They teach a marvelous lesson, and I will admit a difficult lesson for us, at least for Wayne, and I would assume others as well. But again, we can be better and do better. This evening, you may have a need, and we'd like to encourage you, if it's the case that you've not been living faithfully unto God, and you, as a child of God, want to repent of that, and we can encourage you in that. We're going to sing a song in just a moment. Going to offer an invitation to you to come up to the front and make those things known, how we can help you, benefit you, how we can stand with you, and how we can pray for you that you might be forgiven and that you might be strengthened. And maybe it's the case there's one this evening who's ready to obey the gospel. And we'd love nothing more than to help you with that, to assist you. And if you believe Jesus to be the Son of God, you'd be willing to repent of sin, confess your faith in Christ, and be baptized to wash away your sins. We'd help you. We encourage you. Won't you come to the front while we stand and while we sing this song?